Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Hey, here we are with the questions from America. Senator McCaskill, what was your reasoning behind supporting the Iran deal? Oh, that's news today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Good for you. I said last week it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, you know, I called the countries that are part of the deal. More importantly, I called the countries that are holding Iran's money. Everybody thinks that we control this money. We don't.
Right.
It's in South Korea, Japan, China,
Westwood.
India. Yeah. So I call those countries.
It's a lot in Westwood.
And ask them, hey, are you going to respect unilateral sanctions in the United States if we walk away from this deal? And I got an uneasy feeling that this sanction regime was going to fray if we don't do this deal, which means they could get the $60 billion without cement down their centrifuges.
No, it's,
now, that would be a bad outcome.
Right.
That would be a bad outcome.
Right. And that's why it was a no-brainer. Mark Maron, did sitting down with President Obama in such a casual setting change how you viewed him?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a guy.
It's true.
No, it was pretty astounding. I was very nervous to have the... It's weird when the president comes to your house and...
Right, because you do your podcast for me.
I have a two-bedroom house with one bathroom. The door of my bathroom doesn't even work. And we do it in the garage.
Right.
And I had to... I literally had to ask my neighbor. I said, you know, Dennis, would it be okay if we put snipers on the roof? And he's retired, so he was like, yeah, you fucking kidding me? That's terrific. But it was pretty fascinating because I was nervous because, as you know, you talk to some politicians, you want to get past their talking points and have that experience. And it very quickly, he put me at ease. You know, he walked into the garage, he looked around. There's a lot of artwork that my fans send of me, and he immediately said, wow, you're pretty narcissistic. So there was a moment where he literally grounded himself in the environment,
sure.
And it was very connected. And I felt I had a lot of respect for him as a person because I felt like I was able to talk to the person.
Yeah.
He's a very thoughtful.
It was a terrific interview.
Thank you very
great.
Much.
You
Thanks
did.
A lot. It was amazing.
Donna Edwards, what differentiates you from your opponent in the upcoming Senate race?
Wow, such a good question.
Yeah, softball.
Softball question. No, actually, there are a lot of things that differentiate us. I mean, first of all, it goes without saying I'm an African-American woman running for the United States Senate when there hasn't been one in 23 years.
But who was the last one?
Carol Moseley-Braun, 23 years ago. One in our 239-year history. And I think I bring a perspective to the Senate that will be different and that will be added to the voices of the women in the Senate. And on some public policy issues, we talked about Social Security. And I have been a very strong proponent of strengthening, expanding Social Security and Medicare, their earned benefits that we pay into. And unfortunately, my opponent has said in a number of occasions that he would consider cutting Social Security and Medicare, and I wouldn't do that.
Right. And you know, of course, you know, a lot of that money, of course, is used to put old people in homes. And I know in your book you say that's something that the people who live a long life just they wouldn't even know what that was to put parents in a
it would shame the family.
It would shame the family.
Yeah, you're
I'm sorry, did I not end that with a question there? Your thoughts, Dan.
Ask me the question again.
Well, I was just going to... I read it in your book that the people in the blue zones...
Right.
They do not know this concept that we have in America of old-age homes where people go visit their parents once a week. And it's just a different way of looking at things. And why does that contribute to living so long?
Well, it's more... If you put your aging parent in a retirement home, it'll shave between 2 and 6 years off of their life expectancy. I think part of it is that if your aging parent's in the home, they're in blue zones anyway, they're continuing to help cook, help take care of kids, run the garden. They're not only feeling a sense of purpose or a sense of responsibility. They have a reason to get up in the morning. They have a reason to stay active, a reason to take their meds. And when you put people in a retirement home, it's like, well, they wake up, well, what do I do today? You know, go play shuffleboard. So it's an important idea, I think, too.
Maybe they wouldn't need meds.
Certainly not as much. You know, in none of these...
Do they have meds in these places?
They all have good public health systems. Costa Rica, for example, you're
about... Do they have these Viagra pills that we were talking about? Is that something they need, or do they have... natural erection.
I think he said public health systems, didn't
That's
he?
Right.
Yes, I said public specific.
I want to make sure I heard that right.
Yes. So, this is interesting. In Costa Rica, a 50-year-old is about 3 times more likely to reach a healthy age 90 than an American is, and they spend 1/15 the amount we do on health care, but it's almost all on public health. In every little village, they have a Puesto de Salud where...
What's that, Dan?
I'm sorry. What's that? It's sort of an ikigai.
It's like an ikigai. It's all about ikigai.
All right. It's a little clinic.
Jesus.
Where a pregnant mother is taught how to feed their child. The kids get vaccinations, and it makes a big difference in the long run.
Well, speaking of that, will the GOP admit that Obamacare is working, or will they continue to campaign on its demise? Good question. Maybe that's for you, Charles.
Well, that's it.
There's no numbers in that.
No, there are a lot of numbers.
Well, there are a lot of numbers. I could give you some.
That's a very big topic. I think there have been certainly some gains in terms of the uninsurance rate going down.
Course.
Having said that, a lot of it is Medicaid, which is less than ideal. A lot of it is what has essentially become high deductible plans the wrong way round.
Correct.
Conservatives want high deductible plans that don't cover quotidian.
Cover
things, everyday things.
Oh, quotidian.
Yeah,
I know that word.
Like birth control.
Q-U-O-T-I-D-I-A-N.
But there will be if there's a serious problem. What we have is the opposite at the moment, and that's largely because it's so prescriptive. I mean, there's a federal regulator, and it tells you what you need in it. And you know, there was an interesting piece in Harper's Magazine. It didn't come from my perspective, but saying that
I read it
in combination with the Cadillac tax, which is probably more of a sort of, you know, Toyota Corolla tax. It's not really just the top of the market. This is going to cause people a lot of problems. So this is a very complicated topic.
But here's the question for the presidential candidates, the Republican presidential candidates. Has anyone seen Replace? Have you ever seen it? Because I've been hearing about Replace for about 6 years. I got the bloodhounds out. I don't know if you have, Donna. In Washington, I've gone up and down the halls. I've searched in hearing rooms. You can't find Replace. There is no legislation. There is no debate of anything. It's repeal and replace, but when you ask them what replace is, it is crickets.
So I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure that's true for two reasons. Firstly,
we haven't debated anything. I've not seen the legislation. I've been there the whole time.
Well, with respect, Senator, I think you may need better bloodhounds, because this week Marco Rubio put out a plan. This week Scott Walker put out a plan. If you go to where Obama was when he was elected, there was no published plan. At the point at which there was a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, the party picked up what was essentially Clinton care, but with a few changes, and then it ran with it. You have the Coburn plan, you have a Price plan. There's a lot of plans out there. They haven't coalesced around one. You know why? Because they haven't won the presidency
yet. I just know that we have the Republicans in charge of Congress. I know they have voted thousands of times to repeal Obamacare. I have never had an opportunity on any piece of legislation to replace it.
Yeah, and that's
fine, they're in charge. So don't tell me that it's there somewhere and we just don't know it. They have not put it forward.
What I said is
that because it's hard.
No.
Sorry.
Can I respond to that? I think that the point is asked with when Obama became president, and he didn't pick up the Bush plan. I mean, there was a George W. Bush health care plan in 2006 that went nowhere because there was a Democratic Congress. When you have divided government, there is not going to be a big change to the health care system. Republicans know that. And if there's a unified government in 2016, which seems unlikely, but if there is, then you're going to see maybe the Rubio plan, maybe the Walker plan, maybe the Coburn plan. One of those will be picked up as it was with Obama. I think it's an unfair criticism.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it for Charles for standing against all of us.
Yeah, really, Charles.
And having us
there you go.
All right. Thank you, panel. Thank you, audience. We'll see you next week.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10. or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.